Hello, everyone. Welcome to the How to Sleep podcast. It's been a while, huh? Two and a half months ago, I said I had the ultimate episode to record and share from my childhood for an electric typewriter, electric keyboard, I guess. And yeah, 2.5 months ago, and then life happened. And work happened, and things got busy. Such is the case when you do a podcast for fun, for a hobby, to help people sleep, to get the creative parts of your brain flowing, to talk and find fun articles and share them with the world, with an awesome, dedicated audience like you all. Things get busy. And this got put on the back burner, which sometimes happens. So appreciate you sticking by, and hopefully you're back here listening. So here we are on a rainy Saturday in Georgia, outside of Atlanta, Georgia, where I live. Figured no better day than today to get back on the horse and record an episode for you all. So here we are with the How to Sleep podcast designed to help y'all sleep, and to read manuals, and it's fun. It starts with manuals. I've come across a couple of fun ones in the last couple months. But like always, and I tend to start the podcast here sort of rambling. A lot of this isn't really planned, but, what are the things that interest me and maybe I'm a little familiar with? Sometimes these manuals I've never encountered and they're brand new, which is great. And I'm learning right along with you all as you're listening. And sometimes I have went through the process, mounting a TV, something I've only done once by myself, definitely done it a couple times with the help of others. So that wasn't entirely new. And then today's episode is something I have done a significant number of times. And so I'm very familiar with it, and I'll get into the why behind that. So this is one that just, if I'm going to get back into it for a new episode for you all, I thought, why not share something I'm intimately familiar with, having done it so many times and as a kid and as a grown adult, just to sort of, ease into it, dip your toes back into the water, so to speak, see how it feels, which with temperatures warming here, spring in full bloom, really, this rainstorm's definitely going to make everything very green. It's definitely greener here in Georgia. I think now's a better time than ever to share my job as a kid, which was a brick tender for my father and my uncle, carrying bricks, concrete blocks, mixing concrete, setting off scaffolding, just, helping at the job site and definitely cleaning up. So how to pour a perfect concrete driveway is right up my alley. It's been a while. I definitely could still do it. I have no doubt about that. I don't think you really lose that touch after years and years of doing it and pouring many driveways and basements and sidewalks. So I want to share this with you all. It's close and dear to my heart and special, and quite frankly, could be helpful for some of you. So as always, I have two articles. The first is a little bit shorter, and it has a couple more specifics that I like, just in terms of measurements, depth. And then the second article is going to go into a little more step by step. So I want, the first one's going to intro us, and then the second one will definitely get into a lot more detail. It's very thorough and will help you learn the process. So thanks again for listening and downloading. There's been a ton of, it's interesting taking a break and seeing if people are still listening to the show. And you are, and I appreciate that. I really do. And again, I hope it helps. At the end of the day, I hope it's interesting. I hope it helps. I know I listen to plenty of podcasts, and I have my go-tos and audiobooks too, and it helps me doing chores. There are those I do when I walk, and there are those I listen to when I'm, laying down. So whatever it is for you, thank you for sticking around, and I hope you enjoy how to pour a perfect concrete driveway. So, the first article is from copesandandgravel.com. Again, links will be there in the show notes if you want to follow along. There's some good visuals with all of our articles. And this one in particular, it helps to visualize, as you're listening, the process of pouring a driveway. So, let's get into it. So build a DIY, do-it-yourself, concrete driveway, step by step. It's easy to pour and build a driveway made of concrete in this how-to article. On a small scale, concrete is fairly easy to work with, but installing an entire driveway can be a challenge. It is possible to build an attractive concrete driveway yourself, but careful planning and preparation is necessary. Be sure to place all the concrete at once. A big driveway can be broken down into smaller, manageable sections using 2x4s. There is a little sidebar here I think I'll read before we get into the rest of the article. First, concrete safety. Always wear safety goggles when working with concrete. Plastic concrete is caustic, so wear gloves to protect your hands. Also, wear rubber boots if you walk in the concrete to strike it off or push too hard to reach areas. If plastic concrete comes in contact with your skin or clothing, be sure to wash thoroughly with water. Also, you're probably going to get a few more sort of editorial comments from me than normal. I'll do my best to sort of note those as I get going. And that's just largely because I've done this many times. So when I read stuff about rubber boots, safety goggles, although I'll be honest, didn't wear safety goggles often enough as I should have pouring concrete, but definitely rubber boots. It's a messy business pouring concrete. The other item here in the sidebar, why concrete is best. It's practical, versatile, and inexpensive. It's one of the best driveway building products available, concrete. You or a professional concrete contractor can create walkways, stepping stones, or a backyard driveway perfect for the barbecue. It works well with landscape materials such as flagstone, brick, or pavers. Okay, back into the article. So, you know, start build and install forms, making sure they're level and properly graded for drainage. To prevent rain puddles from forming, design a 2% slope every 10 feet long. Will drop 2.5 feet. Place and level a 4 to 6 inch bed of gravel. You need a gravel base in areas of poor drainage or freezing temperatures. Be sure to compact the gravel base and rent a compacting machine if necessary. Check gravel thickness with a homemade template that extends down from the tops of the forms 4 inches of the finished driveway. When it just touches the top of the gravel, the base is thick enough. A taller slab will be stronger. We recommend 4 inches thick. Let the gravel extend under the edges of the forms. If the driveway wall will abut an existing concrete sidewalk or slab, install isolation joint strips. Attach the strips flush with the top of an existing slab using hardened concrete nails or construction adhesive. So again, the link and the visuals here are very helpful if that works for you. So next up, pouring a concrete driveway. Thoroughly dampen the gravel. Start placing the concrete at one corner of the form while a helper uses a shovel or hoe to spread it. Image above. pour the concrete up against the form and compact it into all corners with a square shovel or mortar hoe. With a hoe, push, don't drag the concrete, but don't overwork the concrete, and don't spread it too far. Overworking will force the heavy aggregate to the bottom of the slab and will bring up small particles that can cause defects in the finished DIY concrete driveway. Instead, space out your placement along the form, placing each batch against the previous batch to fill the form. If you plan to leave the dividers in place, finish and cure the concrete in alternating sections. Imagine it like a checkerboard and do all the red squares first. Once they've cured for at least 3 days, remove the stakes from inside of the remaining sections, black squares, and complete them. Next up, striking the concrete. Move a strike off, example above, a straight wood 2x4, across the form to level the concrete. On large jobs, do this batch by batch, rather than after all the cement is placed. Move the board slowly along the form, using a side-to-side sawing motion. Be sure to make two passes. Even on narrow forms, two people will make the work faster and more efficient. Editor Mike Snow, absolutely. Always have two people on that. If necessary, a third person can shovel extra concrete into any corners to save time. And that was my job, the third person. Okay, next step. Smoothing concrete driveway surface. If you're working on a very small walkway leading to your driveway, you can skip this step. After striking off, use a Darby or bowl float, depending on the size of your project, for the initial finishing, to smooth down high spots and fill small hollows left after striking off. Use the Darby, above left, on small DIY concrete projects. Move it in overlapping arcs, then repeat with overlapping straight, side-to-side strokes. Keep the tool flat. Don't let it dig in. For larger jobs, use a bowl float above right. Push it away from you with its leading edge raised slightly. Pull it back nearly flat. Overlap your passes. Okay, next step, edging concrete. Giving your DIY concrete driveway or sidewalk a curved edge will help it resist chipping and prevent stub toes or tripping accidents. To edge the cement, begin by running a mason's trowel between the concrete and the outer edges of the slab form, above inset. Follow with an edger, above right, run it back and forth to smooth and compact the concrete. Unless the tool has a toboggan end, raise the leading edge slightly as you move it. And again, here with the images, there's a little more detail in terms of sort of, there's an image for a pencil mark, a guide board, the edge tool is being used, but it shows sort of the 1-inch bit, the jointer on the edge tool. So a few more specifics for those who are really getting into the project, I recommend giving a look. Next step, jointing concrete for controlled cracks. Large slabs of concrete will crack. To control driveway cracks, you need to set joints with a 1-inch deep jointer with a straight guide board to make control joints. Kneel on a board to reach the middle of a wide slab. Depth of control joints should be 1/4 of the slab's thickness. Control joints can be made at intervals of about 1.5 times the width of the slab, but the distance between them should not exceed 30 times the thickness of the driveway, 10 feet for a 4-inch thick slab. For concrete made with a 3/4-inch coarse aggregate, reduce the maximum control joint spacing to 8 foot for a 4-inch slab. Jointed sections should never be more than 1.5 times as long as they are wide. Bonus tip, it is better to have more joints rather than less to prevent cracking. I agree with that sentiment and advice tip, as they say. Measure along the forms to locate the joint and mark them with a pencil. Any edging or jointing marks can be removed by floating, which is next. All right. floating and troweling concrete. Now comes the fun part of working with ready mix cement. Well, we think floating concrete is fun. Mike's, no, I don't think many people do. Maybe they do. Maybe I'm wrong. After the water sheen has disappeared from the concrete, but before the surface has become really stiff, float with a wood float or a magnesium hand float. The latter gives a smoother surface. With air entrained concrete, use a magnesium float. A wood float can tear the driveway surface. With both types of float, hold the tool flat on the surface. Once again, to reach the middle of a large slab, kneel on boards and then finish over the board marks as you work backwards. Caution, don't use a steel trowel on outdoor surfaces unless you are going to broom finish afterwards. It creates a very slick surface that can be dangerous when wet. So positively, do not use a steel trowel on a driveway exposed to moisture. Okay, and then finally, drying concrete, curing the DIY driveway. Concrete slabs need to be moist, cured to keep their surfaces from drying too quickly, especially in our high desert heat of Nampa, Idaho, where they're clearly running their business. So, if the surface dries too soon, it will be weak and may later become powdery or crumble away. Cure your concrete by keeping it wet. Cover the slab with burlap, sand, straw, or other material and wet it. Wet it down as needed until curing is finished. Another option is to use plastic sheeting or a commercial curing compound. Water evaporating from the slab will be trapped, eliminating the need for wetting. And whatever method you choose, curing should last a minimum of 3 days, longer in cold weather. But it's best to let the slab cure for a week just to be on the safe side. Don't walk on it for at least 3 or 4 days, nor drive a vehicle until 10 days have passed. Which I know is a tough one, waiting when you want to test it out. But patience is important here. So there's our intro. That's pretty, you know, it gives you a pretty good idea of pouring concrete. Again, I don't think there's any videos linked here, but YouTube videos are super helpful too, especially if you, one, are just interested in seeing the process. For those of you who've never seen concrete poured, you know, I take it for granted. I've done it so many times now. Still fascinates me. I love seeing a project come together, especially building and when it comes to houses. I'm not a very good handyman, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm a very good helper to get tools and to do all the heavy lifting and things of that nature. Not just going to build, a bookshelf on my own. But, it's fun to watch this come together. So, one, if that interests you and you want to see it on YouTube, I'm sure if you just search, concrete driveways, sidewalks, you'll see it and then the whole process. And two, especially if you want to do it, I'm sure there's phenomenal tutorials online on how to do it. So thank you to Cope Sand and Gravel, listed there in the show notes. And then we'll finish this off with the second article from FanlyHandyman.com. Link also there in the notes. And this is how to pour a perfect concrete slab. The author is Andrew Zollner. This was published back in 2019, not too long ago. Let's jump into it. A little more, there's 18 steps, so definitely images here that are very handy to see. Very practical. It's him very much on the job doing it. So, and this reminded me of reading this of Saturday mornings. We always poured driveways and basements on Saturday mornings, and I knew it was great during the summertime because I'd work during the week Monday through Friday just building basements and whatnot, but we always typically poured the driveways on the weekends, and you'd be getting up early. Dad, what time is the truck coming? 8 a.m. Like, oh great, 17-year-old kid like waking up that early. Or the truck's coming at 9 or 9:30. But, these are hot summers in Michigan. And he just knew you had to be ready. You had to have everything ready to go when that truck came. All your tools, everything. And then once it came, game on. And you couldn't slow down. You did it until that thing was finished. And it was fun. It was hard work pushing a wheelbar for concrete. Those things are heavy. And I never forget the first time I pushed a wheelbar for concrete and we were pouring a back slab, actually, at a house. And I just dumped the whole thing. I was maybe 13 or 14. I dumped a whole wheelbarrow right on the grass, on the owner's grass. And we had to spray that for sure. Just made a total mess. My dad was like, "Yeah, it is what it is, but clean that up quickly because concrete hardens." So it's hard work, but it's fun work. I'd do one of those right now. I'd probably be sore as heck afterwards. But all right, so let's get into this second article. How to pour a perfect concrete slab. Andrew Zollner. A concrete driveway makes a beautiful gateway to your home that can last for decades if it's installed correctly. But if you don't follow the proper procedures, it could turn into a pile of rubble in half the time. The good news, installing it the right way doesn't take extra time or money. We tagged along with a longtime professional mason who showed us the best ways to prevent water from pooling and stop unsightly cracking, spalling, and scaling. So, step one, protect adjoining concrete. Our expert uses duct tape to protect adjacent slabs and sidewalks. Concrete can splash when it runs from the shoe onto the ground, so you'll also want to lay plastic over doors, siding, brick, windows, or anything else you want to keep clean. Smearing wet concrete into porous surfaces creates an even bigger mess. So if you do get a couple globs where you don't want them, wait till they dry and then scrape them off. Step 2, dampen the base to lengthen finish time. To extend your finish time on hot, sunny days, spray bone-dry ground with water to keep the base from sucking the water out of the concrete. A water spray also slows down curing, which makes for a stronger slab. If there's no hose bib nearby, you can use the water and hose that are on board the truck. That's the concrete truck, the cement truck. Those trucks with the spinning chute you may see on the highway or the roads by you. If you don't have water on site, also use the truck hose to fill a couple of buckets of water for cleaning your tools after the truck leaves. Step 3, pour the concrete in small sections. Spread the concrete by moving the chute back and forth and by having the driver pull forward as you go. Once the truck has reached the end of a section, spread the concrete out evenly and a touch higher than the form with a concrete placer rake. Don't fill the whole form or giant sections because the mound of extra concrete you'll drag back with the screed board will get too heavy. Absolutely, it does get too heavy. This rebar grid is sitting on chairs, a setup that keeps it suspended at the proper height. You won't be able to use chairs if you have to distribute the concrete throughout the form with a wheelbarrow. If that's the case, use the hook on the edge of the concrete placer to pull the rebar up into the center of the concrete as you pour. Rebar should be placed near the center of the slab for maximum strength, not near the ground or the surface. Step 4 is called hand signals, and there's some images here. So here are some basic hand signals to help you communicate with the truck driver. Make sure you can see the truck driver's or the driver's face in the side view mirror. If you can't see him, he can't see you. So there's the back up the truck, which is, you know, your hand in the back of your hand facing the driver, and it's just sort of pointing towards you. Your typical back up, come on. You're gesturing to come, keep going. Stop the truck is making your hand in a fist. Start pouring is your one finger, you know, pointer finger pointing up and just twirling it. And then stop pouring is just sort of a, you know, pointing at your throat with your hand. So back up, stop, pour, and stop pouring. So those are some gestures. Oh, man, I haven't thought of those in forever. To communicate with the driver. And some drivers are better than others as well. Step 5. Slide the screed board back and forth as you pull. Pull back the excess concrete with the screed board. As you pull, slide the screed board back and forth to help you prevent voids in the surface. Have a mucker, that's what they're really called, pull the excess back and fill in low spots during the screeding process. I was a mucker, that's what I was doing. Step 6, crown side up on the screed board. A slight crown or bow in the screed board is not only okay, it's preferred. Just make sure the crown side is facing up. That will create a slight bump or hump down the middle of the slab, so water will drain off. If the crown faces down, you'll end up creating a trough in the slab where water can pool. All right. Step seven, push the rocks down. Larger aggregate, chunks of gravel near the surface may cause spalling or chipping. Our expert pushes the larger rocks deeper into the mix. He does this by making small stabbing motions with the float on the first return pass. Start floating the slab immediately after the pour is complete. Again, like I said, you just have to keep going. There's no slowing down. Step 8, start floating right away. In addition to pushing the aggregate down under the surface, a bowl float helps level the slab, so start floating right after you screed, while the concrete is still wet enough to shape. Whenever possible, run the bowl float perpendicular to the direction you pulled the concrete. With the screed board, this slab was too long to do that. The slab is shown in the photos. That will help to smooth out the ridges, troughs, and valleys created by screeding. Our expert likes to float in both directions when he can. Step 9, clean your tools as you go. Don't wait till the end of the day to clean your tools. Clean them immediately after use. Absolutely, concrete hardens quickly and becomes significantly harder to clean it. So clean as you go. That also was my job, and I was pretty on top of it. Step 10, don't over-trowel concrete. Actually, exterior concrete surfaces don't need to be troweled at all. But if you want to use a trowel to knock down the ridges left by the bowl float, make as few passes as possible and wait until all the surface bleed water is gone. Overworking and troweling wet concrete can trap water just under the surface, making it weak and more prone to spalling and scaling, pitting and peeling, especially on slabs poured in cold climates. Step 11, making long strokes with the edger. The concrete should be firm before you start edging. If the edger is leaving behind large wet grooves, wait a while before you continue. Longer strokes will result in straighter lines. Step 12, keep a hand float nearby when edging. Run a hand float over the ridges left behind by the edger. A hand float is also a good tool for dragging small amounts of material or moisture, cream, into any voids or dry spots near the edge. Step 13, cut and control joints. A 100-foot run of concrete can shrink as much as a half inch as it hardens. Shrinking causes cracks. You can't stop your slab from cracking, but you can control where it cracks. Cut in control joints to create individual sections no larger than 8x8 feet for a 3.5-inch thick slab, and no larger than 10x10 feet for a 5.5-inch thick slab. Cut the control joints at least 1/4 the depth of the concrete. You could use a groover like this one in the picture, which works similar to an edger, but many pros prefer to cut the control joints with a diamond blade saw the day after pouring. I've seen both done. Both can work. Step 14, create traction with a broom. A broom finish creates a non-slip surface for wet conditions. The harder the concrete, the less rough the broom will leave the surface. Try to achieve a surface rough enough for traction, but not so rough that it hurts to walk on barefoot. If the broom starts to bounce as you pull, lower the angle of the handle. If possible, broom perpendicular to the direction that the slab is most visible. Wavy, crooked broom lines are less noticeable that way. Step 15, spray on a sealer. Concrete will become significantly weaker if the water in the mix evaporates before the chemical curing process is complete. Spray down the slab with water every day for at least a week to slow down the curing process. Another option is to spray on an acrylic cure and seal product. Sealing the surface also protects the concrete from scaling and spalling in cold climates. Apply the sealer right after you broom. Step 16, finishing up. The slab can be walked on and the forms pulled in 24 hours. Wait at least 10 days to drive on it and avoid spreading any ice melting chemicals for the first 2 years. Ask your neighbors to keep an eye on their pets before you pour, and use caution tape around the area to warn the pesky neighbor kids. And of course, not mentioned here, but oftentimes people put in their handprints or write their names, footprints, just to mark the, you know, the family, dedicate the slab. Step 17, be prepared. Concrete doesn't care if you're not organized or don't have time to finish all the edging. It will start setting up right away regardless. Make sure all your tools are ready to go, and there are at least 3 people on hand, 1 to muck and 2 to screed. Sometimes the truck driver will help, but don't count on it. Like I said, you have to be ready. And once it's go time, it's go time. And then finally, number 18 is how to order. Calculate the volume you need in cubic yards, multiply the length by the width by the depth, and divide that number by 27, the number of cubic feet in a cubic yard. Then add 10% to allow for spillage and slab depth variations. If you're not sure which slump consistency or PSI strength to order, ask your concrete supplier to suggest the proper mix for your slab's intended use. And then there's another link to see how to build a concrete walkway, which is slightly different, but still some similar concepts there. So there you have it, the end of our second article on pouring the perfect concrete driveway. This one from familyhandyman.com. Thank you, Andrew Zollner, for this article. Hope you all enjoyed this one, man. Blast from the past. Like I said, I would pour a driveway right now, and I could. I would be very sore afterwards. It's hard work. And definitely, you know, just to watch experts do it. And, you know, I come from a long line of brick masons. My father, his dad, my grandpa, my mom's dad, my grandpa on the other side. My dad's brother, my uncle, my mom's brother, my other uncle, who's actually still doing it. Both my uncles are. My dad's retired now. All concrete workers. And I've poured concrete with, you know, with all of them, other than my 2 grandpas. I guess I poured it with my grandpa, Schaefer. But, And I've seen it done, and they're experts. They're pros. They know what they're doing. And I was there, and I definitely wasn't at first, but you do things enough, as you know. You start getting better at them if you're trying to improve and learn. And, you know, when you're doing it so quickly, you don't have a choice but to learn quickly because, you're building a driveway for someone. You're pouring a driveway, and it's got to be great. It's got to be what they expect. And we did that, and it was fun. So I'm very happy to share this with everyone. On my episode back, we'll see. You know, I can't promise a weekly episode. That may be asking too much of myself. And you may hear that and say, what the heck? But just sort of setting expectations. But it's fun, man. It's good to be back. I got to be honest, though, my throat is a little... little raspy from this, but good to share. So I appreciate y'all listening and supporting the show. So How to Sleep Podcast Here is back. How to Pour a Perfect Concrete Driveway. Thank you for listening as always. And you know all the ways to find How to Sleep Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, email the show, howtosleeppodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Please share and tell your friends and family it's back. There's a new episode, and if they haven't listened, there's so many old episodes the hopper, if that's the right word. And they vary in quality, and they're so different from when I started with American Standard Toilet to now here with concrete. So much different stuff, and a lot of good things. So if there's things that are missing, topics that are missing, I should say, let me know. Definitely share out. In the meantime, thank you. Appreciate you listening. And until next episode, I will talk to y'all soon.